Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
Talk to him, Vic.
Hey guys, welcome back to Believe in K-Pop. This week we have two lovely guests by the names of Shannon and Angelica of the Ask Me About K-Pop podcast. I'm really happy to have them on. Shout out to DJ Peter Lowe from the K-Pop cast, who originally was the one who kind of connected me to Shannon and Angelica, and we had a very nice, long, definitely more than an hour conversation here while recording and while not recording. So as you see right now, this is definitely an hour and 9 minute interview, I want to say, which I really enjoyed. One thing you might hear in the background, and in Angelica's recording, she definitely had her window open. I think a window was open, but there's some like nice bird noises that are in the background, which I thought were really nice to leave in, and I decided to for that reason, so you can hear a little bird noises coming from LA, which is where Shannon and Angelica live. Hope everyone in LA listening to this is staying healthy. Hope everyone around the world is staying safe and healthy as well. As I said last week, we will continue on with the kind of deep dive. We're going to do Big Hit next, as I said. BTS, obviously, and TXT, and maybe Ihyeon. I think his name is Ihyeon, or Lihyeon, however you want to pronounce it. So we'll be doing that next week. And then after that, we will be having on Roxy from The Craze. So sorry for the hiccup, guys. Next 2 weeks will be quite good. Hopefully you guys enjoy this. And yes, here's the interview with Ask Me About K-Pop. What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Believe in K-Pop. We have two special guests here. It's been a little bit of time since we've had some guests, but I'm very honored to have them on. We have Shannon and Angelica of Ask Me About K-Pop. Thank you guys for joining.
Oh, of course.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. How are you guys? I mean, we are recording virtually, guys. We are social distancing. And even if we wanted to be together, we couldn't because I'm in Atlanta. So, but how are you guys spending your time, you know, during this stay-at-home quarantine order that we have?
Working too much, honestly.
Are you working longer hours or shorter hours, would you
say? I feel like I'm working longer hours just because I don't. The day doesn't get broken up the same, you know? You can't, like, walk to the kitchen and get into a 10-minute conversation with somebody or go walk to lunch. Like, things that take up time in the day. Like, now I just work for 9 hours straight, and it's ridiculous.
But are you more productive, though, is the question?
I think so. I work at a podcast network, and we're working very hard to keep podcasting normal while things are weird, which means a lot of Zoom recordings like this, which, as you probably know, have to be edited a lot in post. So everybody at my job is very, very busy right now.
Ah, I see. What about you, Angelica?
I'm still working as well. I'm a teacher. I teach ESL. And so I'm still doing, but I'm doing like Zoom classes, which has a whole wealth of challenges all on its own. So it's been going okay. But yeah, so I teach. And then aside from that, I've been like cooking and baking a lot, cleaning, staring at the wall. I don't know.
Yes, an assortment of those things. I see. Have you guys been able to catch up on, like, you know, or, you know, get, I guess, lost in another group, catch up on, like, any other, like, VLive, whatever content that you wouldn't have been able to otherwise?
Yeah, no. I feel like I've just been reverting into comforting things, watching, like, really old stuff, like, really, like, re-watching old shiny things that I've seen 100 times, or just, like, episodes. I watched like some episodes of Hyuna Ng like 3 different times this week. Like, I'm just going to like comfort wells. I wish that I had time. Like, I'm very, very intrigued by the boys and I love their music so much, but there's like 11 of them. And like, I feel like my soul is not in the right place to like accept a new group right now. So I'm just like falling back on like comforting things that I've seen a million times.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of the same. I'm finding things that like I know bring me joy. So I'm turning to them now. I started to get a little bit more into ITZY. They've been a group that I've liked since their debut, but then in the past couple weeks, I learned all their names and I watched some of their YouTube videos and, you know, like those Teen Vogue or whatever glamour videos that they do. Yeah. And I opened a weekly idol episode in a tab and it has been open there for about 2 weeks now.
Yep. I know that feeling. I hate it when you're like, I'm going to watch that at some point, but like, it just kind of stays there.
So I'll get to it eventually, I guess.
I feel like, you know, thankfully, I saw one of the things that was trending yesterday was SM tweeting about SHINee's countdown. And I know you guys must have been super happy about that.
Yes! 2020 means SHINee's back!
Yeah. Wait, so
we've been saying this since January 1st. We like renamed one of our K-pop group chats SHINee 2020. Like, we've been waiting for this. So to have SM like be like, yes, for real, we're also on board.
Yeah.
And 99 days till ONU is out, it's like, oh, that's such a small number. Like, we'll probably still be quarantined.
We will.
So we will definitely still be quarantined.
Oh God. And Minho's I think 200 something, right?
We're getting there.
He is the longest left.
So he's definitely still gonna he'll be out by like the end of 2020.
Yeah, I think he gets out in
first
December.
Week of December.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then with Taemin, like, he doesn't go immediately right after they all get out, right?
He doesn't have to go for 2 more years because he is so much younger, and Ki and Mino went kind of early. So we're bitter at him for not going because, but I think we'll have enough time for, like, at least a comeback and a repack before he has to go away.
Taemin said SHINee was coming back this month, or this year, so I'm holding him to that. Guess is that, you know, we'll get, like, a SHINee comeback and then maybe a repackage, and then maybe Taemin will leave. But honestly, like, he could plan a whole other, like, solo thing. He loves to keep busy. I don't know. That guy's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. And who knows where Super M will fall into all of that, you know,
exactly.
too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Baekhyun's got to go to the army, too. Isn't he older than Taemin?
Yes, he is. Yeah. He is. Yeah. Yeah. It's very complicated. But either way, you know, thankfully, you know, they did make their official countdown, or they tweeted about it. So there's only a matter of time.
Yes.
But let's talk, you know, let's separate from Shawol's, you know, fandom, and talk about, you know, y'all's podcast. So first of all, I think there's a lot of people, there have been a lot of my listeners that had been like, you should have Ask Me About K-Pop on, Ask Me About K-Pop. And finally, I don't like having guests on unless I listen to all their stuff. And eventually I was like, okay, like, I'll listen to the first couple episodes, last couple episodes, middle episodes. And then I was just like, oh shoot, like, I'm like, I listened to every single one of y'all's episodes.
Oh, and, oh my gosh.
No, it's you guys really do, you know, the K-pop cast was the first podcast I listened to, and they were very educational in what they did. But they're more, I feel like, analytical, whereas you guys have said, like, your goal was to make this podcast educational. And so in all of that, how did you come up with the name behind it? I know there's, like, Ask Me Anythings on Reddit, you know, whatever it is. But how did you guys come up with Ask Me About K-pop as the name of the podcast?
I think we've said that it's just a general feeling that we've both always had since we got into K-pop, is just like wishing so desperately that the other people in our lives would ask us about it, so mm-hmm. that we'd have a chance to like tell them all of the like crazy, because the industry is so different and there's so many weird pieces to it, and I could talk about it forever. And our logo is like, it's supposed to be like a button, because mm-hmm. I remember like growing up like at TGI Fridays or whatever, the waiters would have a button and be like, ask me about our new steak special or whatever. And so I was like, I just want to wear a button that says ask me about K-pop so that people will ask me about it.
Yeah, that's really where the name came from, is like specifically the idea for that button, because I know before we started the podcast and we were just casual fans, Shannon and I would joke back and forth that we wished we had a button that we could wear all the time, like now that we were really into K-pop and wanted to talk about it all the time. We joked that we wanted that button, and then when Shannon came up with the idea for the podcast, it was just sort of always the title.
So I totally get, and you know, when someone asks you like a certain question about K-pop, and you're like you kind of, I always catch my breath. I'm like, oh, let me tell you, like, and I'm just like, wait, okay, like, how can I condense all of everything that you like? Tell me about the albums, and it's like, okay, hold on, like, that's a huge question. You should go listen to like episode 4 of Ask Me About K-pop, right? Because you can talk about it for like 50 minutes. So then, you know, in doing that, was it in the back of your mind when starting the podcast, like, okay, this audience needs, I know it's like seasoned fans and recent converts alike kind of thing. Was your audience in mind, or was it like, how did you, or were you thinking about that? Or was it also more of just a thing like, you know what, if you ask me, I'm going to tell you sort of thing?
I think that the original, like very original idea when I started like writing it down, because I originally like was going to pitch it at my job. And one of my coworkers was like going to help me with the pilot. And I think I was coming from it from a very, very just like educational podcast perspective of, if somebody who had just like heard about K-pop on the news and wanted to know what it was, like from a, like, I wasn't even thinking about fans listening to it until we were sort of in it and being like, oh, I guess other people would like to hear this too. But I think my original idea was just to like tell the world, like the casually interested person, all there is to know about K-pop. Because in the beginning, our first like 10 episodes are so extremely basic, trying to get all of the like little bitty nuance pieces that like if somebody was just curious about K-pop, they would need to know. But the fan aspect surprised us more. Like finding out when people tell us like, I've been a K-pop fan 10 years longer than you, and you teach me things, you know, like that kind of stuff is cool.
Yeah. Well, I think part of the, Shannon is the one who had the idea for this podcast, and she, I think you always like intended for it to be educational, but the original idea was sort of, yeah, like that person who doesn't know anything about K-pop. And then when we decided to actually like do it and not just talk about it, the Olympics were in Seoul in 2018. Right. And so there were a couple of K-pop acts that were scheduled to perform in at least the closing ceremony, if not also the opening. We were starting to see a lot of articles in like American media, that was like, what is K-pop? And a lot of times, and we've talked about this on the show, but a lot of times the media coverage like made us absolutely want to die. And so just because it was coming from a very uneducated point of view of like, what is this foreign music industry? And we often found that it was, as fans, like it was either disrespectful or it was inaccurate or incomplete. So we ended up timing our premiere, our pilot, I guess, episode with the like right around the closing ceremonies of the Olympics, because we wanted anyone who saw those Olympics and thought, what is K-pop, thus the title of our first episode, like, what is K-pop? Mm-hmm. And then hopefully they would be able to find us and get like an impression that would leave a better taste in their mouth than like some podunk morning news person, like wondering what this K-pop's all about. So that was definitely something we had in mind as well. But like Shannon said, like people already being established fans and still enjoying even our most basic episodes, like that is something we didn't anticipate.
I think that's one thing that's really cool, you know, even in this first episode, what is K-pop, or like, you know, explaining K-pop, you know, albums, that kind of thing, like just the very basics of it. I think the fact that you guys are able to find little things, you know, historical, you know, tidbits or whatever it may be about, you know, certain albums and how they were created or whatever it may be, for even to K-pop fans that have been, you know, fans for 10 to 15 years, I think that also sheds light on the research that you guys do. And I know you guys have talked about that, the fact that it's a highly research-based show. So I'm curious, how do you guys go about conducting the research for your podcast? You know, let's say for like one episode, like what is the process for doing that?
I think like most good journalism, I think it's like having as many sources as possible is important to us. Mm-hmm. I think we usually just like start on a Wikipedia, like knowing that Wikipedia can be inaccurate or like too short-winded, but sort of start there. And then, like I've said on the show before, that being a K-pop fan has made me really good at Googling things, like specifically Googling things. Yeah. I often, especially with episodes about things that take place like pre-2012, I will go on Naver or on Korean Wikipedia and like look for articles there. The Soompi archive is still like, it's hard to navigate, but like there is still so much old published news there. I love going into old forums to find out how fans were reacting to things like as news happened, because I think that's important context. So it's just really a mix of like trying to find as many sources as possible to be like, how is this being reported in the news? Where are the like facts for these song charts, or like how did fans feel about this when it happened? How do they feel about it now? That kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we generally, I think like the way you said that we start on Wikipedia is pretty accurate. Like that gives us kind of the foundation. And then from Wikipedia, we can either like check their sources that they list on the bottom, or we can then like just start Googling and starting to like, you, like almost using the Wikipedia to like help refine our Google search and look for certain things that maybe we need more information on. Shannon has a bit of an advantage in that she has like sort of a basic understanding of the Korean language. So she can look at some like first language sources. I don't speak any Korean, so that doesn't help me at all. I just like, it's a lot of trial and error of like Googling things, but basically if I find it on, if I can find three websites that all say the same thing, then I'll consider it fact-checked.
Right. And we also try very hard to be very upfront about stuff. Like when we read things on the show, we'll be like, this, we could only find this written one place, or we use words like allegedly. Like we try to be very careful. Because we might like be presenting ourselves as like experts or whatever. But I think that we have learned so much through doing this podcast that I don't ever want to say that like I know everything about K-pop, because that's a lie. Like we find out new things all the time.
Yeah. I feel like we almost present ourselves more like, rather than experts, I think Shannon and I make the joke a lot of times that we're like amateur K-pop historians.
I love that word.
Yeah, which because then you're really taking a lot of like, because we, I think, pride ourselves on like the journalistic integrity of our show, in that we really do try to fact check ourselves or present things, you know, objectively, and also present things like you said, like Shannon said, being very upfront about like allegedly this happened, like, well, we only have, these are our sources, blah blah blah. So I think we try to be, you know, try to be as transparent as possible about where we're getting the information and what the information really is.
I feel like, you know, obviously in doing a podcast in general, but also, or, you know, about K-pop, something that you're very passionate about, but also taking an extra level and like fact checking and making sure like, you know, what you're saying is correct and, you know, going through all these forums, like it adds another level to the like fandom or like, you know, for lack of a better term, fangirl or fanboy like lifestyle that you guys have, you know, already had. I wonder with, you know, it feels like it also could be like chore, what's the word?
It could become a chore.
Yeah, it could become a chore. Does it feel like that? Because it doesn't come across that way on the show. It feels like you guys are like, you're still very passionate about, you know, like, oh, so like I was reading this article about like, you know, 1995, blah, 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 blah. This is what happened. And then that's how it came into this. Like you guys are seem very like, and you'll discuss it. So like, is it a chore, you know, doing all this research? Or, you know, how do you feel about it whenever, you know, each episode kind of thing?
I think it was very important to us. Like, one of the things that we talked about when we started this was that, like, we never wanted it to make us fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because our friendship is more important to me than anything. So I don't want to, like, bust it over a podcast. Mm-hmm. And also that we never wanted the show to feel like a chore.
Yeah, we specifically like shook hands and agreed that like this will never cause us stress. Like the minute this becomes a stressful thing, we're like, we have to change it or fix it or stop, like, because this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah. Okay. And so I think there are times where like maybe we'll say on Tuesday, like, let's do an episode about this weekend. And by Thursday, we found that neither of us are like feeling it or like can't find the info or whatever. So then we'll just do a different episode. Like, we just don't want it. Cause I do love doing the research, and those times where I'm like, I have 18 tabs open and I'm just like going nuts in a Google Doc, I get like high off of it.
Wow. So
like, I think that's why we keep doing it. Cause I do love doing the like ridiculous research.
Yeah, I agree. I think that like I will easily spend, you know, an entire day, like 4, 5, 6 hours, like preparing for, you know, the episode, depending on what the topic is. But for me, I also find it enjoyable. I think it's interesting and it's fun. And like, also a lot of times, you know, if you think about, okay, what is the research that we're doing? It's watching music videos or like performances or something. And like, that's the greatest kind of homework I could ever assign myself. So, so I never really like dread having to prepare for the podcast.
So with that in mind, do you like, is there ever an idea in your head or like a point where you're like, and cause you guys do get like, I think Tamar Herman like asked for like suggestions for podcasts, and y'all's Soju Talk and K-pop cast were like the most like listed, and so you do have a lot of listeners, but you know, with that, like, you know, you've already done your like, you've done a lot of fan projects and that kind of thing, but do you guys ever think about making it, you know, go past a hobby? I guess the answer would be no, if you don't want to be like, have, you know, include any stress in it.
I feel like that's the goal. Dream. I'd love for this to be my full-time job.
That's what we say the dream is, because I think right now any stress that the podcast causes or any like hurdles in the way of making it bigger are because we have other jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think we could do more. We could have a Patreon. We could do more YouTube if I didn't have another job.
Yeah, you know? We could so, like, create so much more content if we didn't have full-time jobs that were not at all related to K-pop.
But we say all the time that the actual dream is to like make talking about K-pop our jobs.
Yeah, and we do have, you know, like, I don't know if they're, I'm not going to call them pie in the sky dreams because I want them to be more realistic than that. I feel like we have easily attainable goals for this year to register ourselves as a small business and to like really get the ball rolling. So like there are certain things that we would like to do as far as like starting merch lines and whatever.
The ball was rolling on merch right before we all got locked up in the house.
So, like,
at the moment, I just sort of feel like I don't want to ask my listeners for any money because I feel like things are weird, and I don't want to contribute to like delivery men being out. So like, I feel like now is not the time for merch, but it was about to be. So like, we were working on
it. We were so close. But it's okay. That's the, but yeah, we do think about that, and we would love, because like I said, right now we are amateur K-pop historians, but I'd love to be a professional one.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's very convenient, Shannon, the fact that you work for, you know, a podcasting, you know, company, like, you know, that segue and that, you know, I guess synergy would be very, easy to make happen, you know, if that, or to whatever degree it ends up.
One of the questions you emailed us beforehand was like, why podcasting over YouTube or something else? Mm-hmm. And I think that is because I have worked in the podcast industry for almost 8 years, like at one of the original podcasting networks. And I love podcasting as a medium. I think it's the coolest. I feel like it's a very intimate medium, and people take you like with them on their lives, and it's just very different from like TV or YouTube or something. Also, my voice is better than my face, like, you know. But I but yeah, I just I love podcasting, and I think it's something that I'm fortunate that like I understand how the industry works, and so that kind of, you know, gave us a leg up, and we do have like access to good equipment and like know how to do all of that stuff. So I think that's particularly why we do a podcast as of anything else, because I know a lot about podcasting and I love them.
Right.
And because this was her idea, so I just did what she told me.
Well, I guess with that, like you're saying, I know one of the episodes you were saying that obviously no one really gives radio attention like that anymore, because there's things like podcasting or just streaming in general where you can just play whenever you want. But obviously, you know, everybody still puts radio, you know, as paramount for, you know, charting and things like that, and true popularity, I guess you could call it that, or mainstream popularity. Do you think there could ever be a point where podcasting is like, okay, we have to get our song on, like, Ask Me About K-Pop, because, like, that will at some point contribute to our, I don't know, contribute to our streams, I don't know. But, like, do you think there's ever a point where that could be the case?
You mean with podcasts in general, or podcast?
Well, your podcast. Let's say your podcast. Yeah, like your. Let's say one day, you know, once all Shiny gets out the military, and they're like, okay, it's all switched over to podcasting. We gotta play our song on, like, Ask Me About K-Pop. Like, this needs to be in the rotation, kind of thing. Do you think that podcasting could ever become something like that?
I think something podcasting similar to radio could become anything. Okay. Like I said, I've worked in the industry for like 8 years, and it was very, very different 8 years ago, and it changes literally constantly, and places like Spotify are just like throwing so much money at podcasts right now that like I feel like anything is possible. I always tell Uber drivers when they like ask me like, oh, what is it like to work in podcasting? I tell them that I imagine it's like working in TV in the like early 50s, like when nobody knew what TV was gonna be. Like, it's a brand new industry, and like I feel like we haven't even seen yet like what it can do. But like there are podcasts that get listened to like by millions and millions of people every week.
Right.
So I think anything's possible, honestly.
Do you guys feel that like, so you guys do have a YouTube, like you said, or that you've mentioned, you have 10K subscribers, and it's really mostly just, you know, the audio track over the, what's it called? What do you call it?
Just the cover art and the cover audio track.
Yeah. Exactly. The cover of the, and you do have a few reaction videos as well. Now, right now, a lot of people say that reactors, K-pop YouTube reactors, it's like a red ocean. Like, there's just so many out there that it's like, okay, like, you can only really pay attention to the, you know, 200,000 plus subscriber ones. But, would you say that podcasting is becoming like a red ocean for like the ones that really stick out? They'll stick out, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how do you feel? How do you guys feel? Maybe just the K-pop podcasting space. Do you feel like it's a red ocean? And in general, do you guys feel like podcasting is a red ocean right now?
I don't know. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know about podcasting in general. I mean, for me, like, I don't know that much about podcasting, and I don't listen to that many podcasts either. It's just like never really been a medium that grabbed me. But I think like the joke is sort of that everyone and their mother like starts a podcast or whatever. I think there is some, I guess, general idea that that's how it's getting. For me, I do sometimes get a little bit discouraged, like when I see sort of, you know, just the names of all the K-pop podcasts that exist, like, in a big list or something. Like, that to me feels a little bit like, oh, man, like, there's so many of us.
Right.
But I do think that, like, each of those, like, every K-pop podcast is, at least of the ones that I've listened to or whatever, like, they do have, like, a lot of them have slightly different spins on it. Mm-hmm. And I do like to think that we're the only ones doing specifically what we're doing as far as the, like, you know, creating an encyclopedia, like creating almost like a K-pop library of like a reference library. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it does get a little bit overwhelming when you think about like just the sheer numbers.
Right, right.
I feel like, I mean, yeah, it does the trope of everyone and their mom having a podcast. Like, it is kind of true. And I know when we started, if you like searched K-pop in a podcasting app, like there were like 7 of us total. And now there's like a ton more.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. And I don't think it's red ocean status, because compared to like podcasts where 3 guys sit around and talk about a movie they just watched, it's like... barely a decimal point compared to how many podcasts, like K-pop podcasts, there are. I feel like, even though it seems like a lot compared to how many other podcasts about so many other things, it's still such a tiny piece of the pie. But I think it's exciting. That's the thing I love about podcasts, and I think it's something people like about YouTube, is that like anybody can do it. Like, it's pretty simple to figure out. It can be free. It costs a little bit if you want better analytics and like better stuff, but like it can, it's a thing that people can do for free, and I think that's cool.
Right. That's true. And it's got like the, you know, the main thing I guess you've said in terms of radio is, you know, is that you can listen to it on demand. You don't have to chime in at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to make sure you're hearing that certain segment. Now, you guys spoke about how, like, you know, you guys shook on the fact that you didn't want this to ever become a chore. You didn't want to get in a fight. Why did you ever think, I don't know if you guys have talked about it amongst each other, but did you ever think about how this was adding another level to your friendship? And what are, like, the pros and cons of, if there are any cons, but the pros, I guess you could say, of, you know.
Oh, I got a long list of cons.
Let's hear it.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, because I guess I will say, like, before I started K-pop podcasts or whatever, I did a podcast with my best friend starting in, like, November of 2017, and it was, like, girl talk, sports, blah, 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 whatever. And that, over time, definitely started some fights here and there and disagreements. It didn't ruin our friendship. We ultimately stopped doing it because it was just like, yeah, it's just not happening. It's not going to work. And we're still like best friends. It's just like, it didn't make sense. We kind of, our interests kind of frayed and that kind of thing. So it didn't make sense to continue doing a podcast. But so I wonder for you guys, like, you know, did you think that this was how much did you think about the fact that this was going to add another level to your friendship that could, you know, potentially create fights, that kind of thing?
Shannon?
No, I think it's just something, I mean, it was something, the reason that I brought it up right when we started is because it's a thing that I know and a thing that I have seen in the industry of people, their podcast gets real big and then they don't get along and like, and then it all falls apart. So it was something that I knew was a possibility, and I was just always wary of it. But I truly think, honestly, the podcast just kind of replaced our regular sitting around on a Tuesday and talking about K-pop for 3 hours. Like, we just kind of record it now.
Yeah.
It, like, doesn't...
Okay. Yeah, there's very little difference between, like, Shannon and I were talking on the phone yesterday, just, like, catching up, and... our conversation just over the phone sounded so, like, when we record this tomorrow, we'll probably have a very similar conversation to the one we had yesterday on the phone.
Yeah.
But we're just doing it in a microphone now. But I think the one, I was thinking about this question earlier today, we never really were, like, worried, I guess, about it. Although I do remember, like, Shannon, when she asked me to co-host the show with her, was that kind of thing of like, okay, like, we can't let this, you know, whatever happens, like, can't let it ruin our friendship. But I think the only time we ever felt like there was a point right at the beginning where it's like, we take a dance class together, so we see each other twice a week anyway, and then we would also, like, before we started the show, maybe hang out like every other weekend. which is basically our recording schedule. We record mm-hmm. every other weekend. And when we first started and like got the ball rolling and we're like really in the hang of it, there was a point where I think we realized that we just replaced our hangouts with recording. And then we were only hanging out to do podcast business. We were not hanging out just to hang out. And so there was like a little bit, like maybe like 6 months into the podcast or something, we were like, wait, I miss you. Like, why don't we hang out anymore? And so we were like, we have to make sure that we don't just handle podcast things. Like, that can't take over our friendship. But it didn't cause a disagreement or anything. It was just more of like finding the balance.
I see.
And sometimes the balance means getting brunch and talking about not podcasts for 2 hours and then going to the studio and recording or whatever.
Yeah, that's the balance we usually do. So we go get lunch first, ham it up, and then go into the studio, get serious.
I see. And I remember listening to, I think it was your year anniversary, you guys were talking about how you guys normally record multiple episodes in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually just two.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, if you're doing like multiple.
I feel like we did three once and it was like not.
Your voice is like done.
Oh, our brains were like melted by the end of it. We were like, our mouths were like tripping over all of our words. Yeah. It was like our tongues were tired.
Okay. So you guys normally, okay. And then, so when you go into, so that would mean like every other week, you know, you're going in recording two episodes. That would mean you would have had done the research for those two episodes, you know, coming into that. And do you guys, mm-hmm. are you guys seeing each other's research? Because I can tell, I mean, like, you know, like Angelica will have like one part of the research while like Shannon, you'll have another part of the research. Like, how are you guys also like, are you guys seeing each other's research before coming in? It doesn't sound like you are, sort of.
We have a shared Google, we have many shared Google Docs.
Right.
Yeah.
That I tend to use. Angelica has beautiful penmanship and is a journal keeper. So she does her notes on paper.
Wow. Yes, I'm a hard copy gal.
That's the big difference, is that like I think sometimes I will like write out an outline in the Google Doc and she'll use that to write her paper notes or whatever, but we do, and sometimes we will explicitly split up the research, like you do these five and I'll do these.
Okay.
But like with group deep dives, I feel like we both just try to like take in the whole thing on our own, and then when we come together, like I'll have found this thing and she found this thing and we have different opinions about this music video, and so it kind of
a lot of the times, I mean, a couple things happen. One, Shannon usually does her research before I do mine, so like she said, I do always have that Google Doc that she starts as like an outline to help me guide my own research. And also then I can look at some things that's like, okay, I don't need to find all the information on this scandal because Shannon covered it or whatever. Or I'll find something that's like, ooh, Shannon didn't have this on her list. Like, I'll spend more time looking at that so then I can bring it to the table or whatever. But I think a lot of the times, especially on something like a group deep dive where we basically have the same notes, like we did the same research, we just kind of have like a, we don't really plan it out. We just sort of naturally take turns telling things. It's like, I don't know, it's like an unspoken rhythm, I guess, that we get into.
Yeah.
So that probably comes from, you know, our decade plus of friendship.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think that's the nice thing about doing the best friend co-host thing, is that we have a little bit of that best friend psychic energy where we can just flow through an episode. I feel like we very rarely have to off mic and be like, hey, wait, are you gonna whatever, and then I edit it out, but for the most part we can just like we roll through it.
We just sort of go with the flow.
Like, and Helica, when you were in, I think you were in Texas at one point, and so you guys were doing this kind of virtually. Obviously it's, I'm sure, way easier to do this, you know, in person. Like, that's the preferable way. Have you guys ever done it where like you're both in LA and but you are not together at the time? All right, you guys, we're going to just take a quick break here and throw a little ads in from our sponsors.
We've never done that. The only time that we did long distance recording was the summer I was in Texas. So we did, and we only did two episodes that way.
We only did two, and then things were, it was just too rough.
Yeah, and I just didn't have like the time to do
it.
So I just like, that's when I like cast a net out to everyone I know to be like, well, someone else. So I did a couple like guest episodes about my husband on, like, we filled the time until she got back.
Right. I remember one of them was like K-pop punk, or one was like featuring. Yes. Yeah, I remember those.
The infamous coworkers react.
Yes. Like, yes. The infamous coworkers episode for sure.
Yes. So, also alongside, you know, producing the actual podcast, how is it managing the Discord that you guys have?
That's a brand new thing. It was born in quarantine. Two of our listeners, who one of them had asked me about making a Discord like months ago, and I was like, I don't know anything about it. Like, I don't have time to like moderate. Like, my first job at my podcast company was moderating a comment forum. And so, like, I know how that all goes, and it's not my favorite. So I didn't want to be responsible for the Discord. Like, that was my one thing, was, like, I don't have time to be, like, blocking trolls or whatever.
Yeah. So. And you said that right away. Like, yes. when the listener reached out and asked, like, could we set this up, Shannon immediately was like, sure, but I don't want to do it. Like, if you guys want to do it, go for it. But I don't want to be responsible for it. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy.
Oh yeah.
And then during quarantine, like, two of our listeners just said, okay, well, can we do this? Like, can we set it up? And we said, go for it. So they did it.
And I love it. It's been like a beautiful lifeline through like quarantine time. And I feel like we're getting listeners who don't, you know, participate in other social media, and they're getting to talk to us and other listeners. Because not everybody gets on Twitter or Instagram or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm sure we have like a ton of listeners that we're just not in contact with in any way that might be coming into this Discord. And I just love like waking up and seeing that people have been talking to each other, or that I have a place to just sort of blurt something. Like, I like it.
Yeah. It's nice. Because, well, one like pro to it is that because we do stack our episodes when we record, like, because we only record every 2 weeks, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in between recordings that we don't really get to mention on the podcast.
To the point that we think it's like a hilarious Matrix glitch, that literally if we talk about, like, if we say, oh, this guy, he used to be a rapper and no one's heard from him in 5 years. As soon as we finish recording the episode, news will break about this person. And like, it's wild.
The number of times that it has happened is so crazy that we've fully given up on ever being up to date with the news, which is fine because it's not the premise of our show. We are not a weekly news K-pop show.
Right.
So it's fine. But the Discord app is nice because then, like, for example, like, Changmin's solo came out. Yes. And, like, that obviously has happened in between recording sessions. So we had a place that we could go and be like, everybody watch this, please.
Yeah.
So, and then that way, you know, like, it's like a nice way for us to communicate with our listeners and fangirl on our platform, like, in between those recordings, which is really nice. But also for the, like, I think the number one comment we get from listeners is that they don't have anybody to talk to in real life about K-pop. Mm. Like, they are a solo K-pop fan in their lives, you know? And so the Discord app, I think, is a really nice place for people to start connecting, even from all over the world. It's a little bit easier to navigate than Twitter and Instagram. It's a lot more curated than Twitter, so we know that, like, the people there are going to be nice.
Yeah,
right.
And so I think that it's hopefully, like, people that listen to our show and feel like they don't have anyone to talk to, I hope that they really take advantage of the Discord.
I've loved watching them help each other with things that, like, we don't know about. Like, we clown on ourselves all the time that, like, we're so behind on all the fourth gen groups. Like, we just, like, we're old ladies and we're stuck and we don't know things. So if somebody will come in and be like, I think I like ATs, like, can anyone help me? Like, we have listeners who love ATs and they have recommendations and they can help where we can't. And, like, that's really nice.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's so nice that, like, I'm looking at the Discord right now. The different, like, channels you have, like, there's definitely over 20 here. Yeah. And that's what's really cool about it as well. But, like, the one I have for mine, it's literally a three. It's like, there's three channels, and I'm like, eh, it's okay. I'm just gonna leave it at that. But the other cool thing I know that's really cool about Discord is that, you know, you have the voice channels, and the voice channels allow you to stream as well. Like for gamers, like that's what they use or whatever. Right. So, and you can hear people as, like, you know, you don't have to be gaming, I guess, but you can listen to music videos or watch music videos, and everyone can be talking, you know, at the, hopefully not the same time. But that's awesome that you guys have, you know, taken on that, you know, initiative. And one other thing that I think is really cool, speaking of Discord chats, I guess this is kind of a roundabout segue, but when people have described you guys as like, or they've coined you as, like, I've asked, like, oh, like, who are some, like, you know, EXO, like, outwardly facing, like, EXO, like, EXOLs, just, like, only EXOLs. And there are a couple of ARMY that are kind of like that, because they're obviously so huge. But people were like, you know, I don't know any, like, outwardly facing only EXOLs, but Angelica and Shannon have asked me about K-pop, and I was like, oh, wait, right. Like, they, you guys are hardcore, I would say hardcore SM stans.
Yeah, sure. I'll take it. And, you can label that. We'll accept that label.
I'll take it.
Yeah. And you guys both, you know, are Carrots as well as Universe. You guys, Monbebe in your own way. It's what? No?
Oh, wait. I'm not a Universe.
Oh, you're not a Universe.
We've had to put Pentagon
away. We've put Pentagon away.
We've discussed we had it to. On the show. Our hearts hurt too much.
Whoa, wait, okay. Oh, I know
because
it was
you guys.
Sorry, breaking Yana, news.
Yes. Yes, yes. Okay, so, okay.
Hashtag where's Yanan?
Yes, yeah, that is a problem. He's been gone for a very long time.
Girl, we don't have time to get into that right now.
I'm sorry, I will say I'm on episode 50, no, episode 47. And I remember, like, you guys were talking about, like Yinan, and obviously, you know, the Hyuna Yinan situation, but I didn't know that you guys had left Pentagon. I didn't know that. I thought till now. Oh man,
it was something I discussed recently. Just about, like, my heart hurts too much to care, and I tried to give people a nice, like, hey man, if you have to put a group behind you,
Wow. It's
okay, because I think a lot of times people get very cranky about, like, you were never a fan in the first place, and I don't subscribe to that. And I think that the K-pop is supposed to be fun. Like, that is my biggest thing, is that the K-pop is supposed to be fun, and if it makes you sad or it hurts your feelings or it makes you angry to look at a group, then you don't have to anymore.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
I think we brought it up, like, our Pentagon feelings. We brought that up because around the time that we talked about it on the podcast, a lot of Monbebe were reaching out to us because of the whole Wonho debacle.
Yes.
And a lot of Monbebe were like, my heart hurts so much, like, I don't know if I can still listen to Monsta X. And so we talked about it, like, you know, we made the analogy of, like, you know, we kind of had to put Pentagon aside because it became difficult for us to listen to the music and separate. Like, we could no longer separate our distaste for how certain things went down with our opinions of the music. And so because of that, we were like, you know what, maybe we need to not hold them so close. Still Monbebe's hardcore SM stands. That was a tangent.
No, I actually think that's really interesting. Like, a lot of people say they unstand because, you know, certain groups may get too popular, you know, too mainstream, whatever it is. But I think, and either for whatever reason, I feel like that's such a, like, it sounds so, like, for first world kind of thing or whatever, but, like, it sounds so, it is, like, hard to do it because you're like, wait, did I ever really like them? Or, like, how do I do that? Like, I spent so much time watching their videos and now I don't like them? Like, how does that make sense? You know, I think that's
it's hard to reconcile.
Right. Yeah. I'm really excited to listen to that episode then, because I think that's a really, I've never, like, heard somebody, at least in this space, like, say, like, oh, I kind of understand them, or, like, kind of put them to the side. I also like how you guys will go back, like, in your, like, review of the year episode, you're like, oh, let's go back to when, like, you were talking about, like the 8 and S-Coups, and you're like, what kind of names are these? Like, what? And now you're like, hardcore Carrots. Like, so,
That's funny. One of my favorite moments of our podcast. Right. Is the my descent into carrot land. Yes.
Whenever our listeners refer to our personal tastes changing as the B plot of our podcast, like that makes me laugh so hard.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the other. While we are trying to present like a ton of educational information and teach people about K-pop history and context and all those things, there is an underlayer of the two of us like standing new groups and getting mad about things, and like our own personal tastes are under there somewhere.
Right.
Yeah. And especially because like a lot of the new groups that we get into because we had to do research about them for our show. Like this show is the only reason I got into Seventeen. Like if we had never done that choreography episode, I never would have learned a lot of, like so much about them. And you know, the rest is history.
I guess speaking of your tastes, you guys both said like you became friends, like obviously you continued, you know, your friendship with K-pop, but like it started out with pop music. So like pop genre is like your main go-to. So how would you describe your tastes though, in terms of like how they might differ or be, you know, completely similar? Obviously your, you know, SM stan.
Our K-pop tastes?
K-pop tastes, yes.
How are they similar?
I mean, we agree on so very many things. I think that helps a lot, is that there's so many things that we agree on musically. I think our only big disagreement is that I like very, very egg yolk girl music and she can't stand
it. You like the fairy so that's kind like of type our thing?
Love fairy idols. Love fairy idols. Right. A-Pink is my ultimate girl group, and I know that they're like cool grown-up ladies now, but they weren't. And so like that's I love that stuff, and I think that's the only thing that we like straight up disagree on. But other than that, I can't think of anything else. Like sometimes you'll like a song and I will not, like we have that, but overall our tastes overlap a ton.
Our tastes overlap a lot in that like we usually I think have the same like core elements that we're looking for in a song that we would find, you know, enjoyable, whether that's like you know, the vocal strengths or like the certain kind of bass lick.
I love a stacked harmony.
Stacked
disco
harmony.
Disco drums. There are like so many things that we love.
That like funk guitar, that always gets me.
And then like are things that we can't, like neither of us like when music yells at us. So like that's why our listeners get sad that we don't like NCT or Stray Kids very much, because I don't like to be yelled at. But I know that lots of people get very hyped by that, and I don't discourage them or whatever, but like we don't like, I think we just love, I need musicality.
The melodic components of the songs are like very, very important to us. And I think the main difference, like Shannon said, is in our girl group opinions. Like Shannon, I personally really don't like auto-tune. I like can't stand it at all. And I also really don't like cutesy vocals. I do not like Aegyo baby
you guys
voices.
Like talk about how you didn't really like Twice for what their Aegyo-ness was.
So like for
I've
me
turned a Twice corner.
She likes not. Twice now. But for me, like I was just gonna bring up Twice as an example, because I was watching, because I do really like the song Feel Special. I've like come around on that one. And I was watching this performance of theirs that they did like an R&B version for like some end of the year show. So I watched that and I was like, you know, I still can't, like, even though they're singing live, they have, like, a very nasal, like, thin quality to their voice that, for me, like, even though I really like the song, like, fuck, I wish I could hear Mamamoo singing it or something. You know what I mean? Like, I want bigger vocals. And I don't, it's a stylistic choice to sing that way. And so, like, I think you can tell in those groups, like, you know, G-Friend or Promise 9 or A-Pink or Twice, like you can tell that they have strength in their voice and they're choosing to turn it down, and that I don't like. So but that's really the only place that we like split.
Fully disagree.
And I like I think I fall for boy groups a little bit more easily than Shannon does.
That's true.
You know, it's interesting, Shannon, you said that, or no, wait, No, Shannon, you were the one who said that you don't like music that screams.
I don't like being yelled at.
We both
of you guys.
Don't yell
so,
at me.
How do you feel about like the ITZY? Like, I feel like ITZY is just like yelling. Like, not yelling, but like chants. It's like
we're fully hypocrites and we'll make exceptions. I totally get what you're saying. Like the ITZY yelling, it feels like a cheerleader thing. And
yeah.
I honestly think like we in our appreciation of Triple Threats being musical theater kids, I think we can weigh things differently. And ITZY is a group where like their choreography impresses us so much.
Yeah, but,
like I think that gives like you can get points and extra.
Totally, yeah. It like it sort of outshines it in a way because, and I brought this up once on the podcast because I fell for ITZY like as soon as I saw Dala Dala, I thought this is really cool and I really like it. But I know I said specifically on the podcast once, like if you put ITZY on paper, it's everything I hate in a girl group, to be honest. Like as far as their vocals are concerned or like the general orchestration of their songs, like it is not what I usually look for or go for. But their performances are so impressive to me that it was never a question. It was like immediately I liked all of it. So I don't know.
I feel like they are very choreography. Like when I went to their YouTube page compared to all of the like JYP groups, like they have way more dance practices and like solo fan cam kind of things compared to everybody else because, you know, everyone covers their songs all the time.
Right.
So then I guess my last question, you kind of answered it, but I was going to ask like just as a fun, like random question would be, which K-pop opinion / you know, obsession you might or quirk that you have, would you change about each other if you could?
Yeah, I think same answer. It would be very nice if I could do the same level of like on the same page fangirling that we do about the boy groups that we love,
yeah,
about the girl group stuff that I love.
Yeah.
That's like my only thing is that, but I do like our good friend Yusong, who's like been on the show a couple times. I now know I can text Yusong about girl group things. Like I'm finding places in our Discord has a girl group channel. Like I'll get there, but
yeah,
I guess it is a small sadness that that's a thing that we can't share.
I know. And I've been thinking, as soon as I read that question that you sent us, I was like thinking about it all day, because I instantly knew what Shannon's answer would be, because I know that like she will send me she'll send me a Twice song and she'll send me a Wacky Mickey or whatever. Like she sends me things and she's like, maybe will you like this? And I'm like, nah.
And she
just goes,
no.
It's like such a sadness. Like there's such a heartbreak that I know is there when I tell her that I don't like it. So that I like knew that that was going to be your answer. But for me, like I was trying to think like, what is an equivalent of like, if I sent her something that she like wasn't really into. And the only thing I could think of was, I wish she was as into Wavy as I am. But it's okay because you are like so supportive and very like humoring. Like she sat down, she watched a whole season of Wavy Dream Plan with me. Like she learned all their names. She's very supportive of my love, but she doesn't really share it, and that's my only heartbreak.
Yeah.
Okay, I see. But everything else, so it's staying, you know, obviously of course yours would be staying within the SM or around about S.
True. Yeah. Still an SM fan,
you
yeah.
know.
Mm-hmm.
One day
I support my son 10.
Exactly. No, one day I feel like you guys are definitely SM Global Shop. They have like, they've sent stuff to like a couple of YouTubers. You guys should be next on that list for like, let's unbox some SM Global stuff.
SM,
like put it on YouTube.
We've been like SM. What do we say all the time? Like they should hire us. We say they should hire us.
They need to hire us because my personal dream job is to be essentially like the resident English speaker of SM, because SM has what we love to call Sminglish, where they just throw a random collection of English words into a line and like call it a lyric. And it drives me absolutely crazy, especially as an English teacher. It like drives me so nuts to listen to Taeyong be like, Paris, like wind, whatever, that verse is in Baby Don't Stop. It's just all gibberish. So I always would love to be, I would love to be the person that's like there to grammatically correct their lyrics and to like teach their idols, you know, phrases or, you know, certain things when they're prep them for going on international tours or whatever. Just be like the resident English speaker. That's our dream. That's my dream.
But I'll do, I mean, I'll do anything if SM asks me to.
I gladly like unbox our stuff right, for them if they want things. Me to.
I think our biggest dream is to someday live close enough to the coex that we can go watch the SM Oz musical as often as possible.
I want to go back. I want to rewatch Oz, and I want to see every single concert.
That I they would have. Live. I would live.
I would live at the coex. I would live at that theater. Oh my God.
I remember going up there and looking at all like the stuff that's, you know, available like for showings and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this just gives me a headache because I just know how much I don't know. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, I'm sure there's like, oh my gosh, it would overwhelm me. But oh, yeah. Would you guys ever want to live in Seoul or Korea?
Oh, that's the dream. I think it would. I love that place.
I think I could easily see myself living there. Like, we went to Seoul about a year ago. We went together. Yeah, almost exactly a year ago. It was last April. But I think that when we went together, like, it was very easy to sort of picture ourselves living there. But, you know, the, like, realistic decision of uprooting your life and leaving, you know, your family here. Like, Shannon's married. Like, that's not an easy thing to do, to just pick up and do.
And visas. So, and it's all a whole thing. But, like, again, that's the dream. The dream. Mm-hmm. That we do get like a legitimate job and could go live there or whatever.
Or at the very least, like, figure out a way to work with all the K-pop stars that come here in LA. Like, so many people come here all the time. Right. And if we had like some kind of professional relationship, then maybe we could catch them all when they're here.
But, right. Or like something you could go back for 6 months, you know, let's try to work on SM, you know.
Places throughout the year.
Exactly. That would be the dream.
Oh my
God,
if I had a condo in Seoul, are you kidding me?
Shut up. Get out of here.
Hey, you guys are probably manifesting it right now. You never know. You never know.
Send it out into the universe.
Exactly. You know how Vine stars have like their like little houses together? It could be like K-pop podcast.
Oh my God, a K-pop house.
That would be so cool. But thank you guys for taking me through everything about Ask Me About K-pop. And do you guys have anything, I guess you guys did say you had merch coming up. Do you have anything else that you might have planned for post-quarantine or during quarantine that you want to promote?
We're doing our best to keep the show rolling as long as we're allowed to keep using the recording studio. We're going to try to keep putting out episodes like everything's normal. Mm-hmm. But I guess just a general plug for the podcast. If you've never heard it, check it out. I especially recommend it if you have a friend or a family member that you're trying to get into K-pop. Yeah. Or you're a new fan that feels overwhelmed. If you start at episode one, I promise we will take care of you. And you'll know a ton very soon and you won't feel as like overwhelmed by it.
Yeah.
And you can find us at AMA K-pop Pod on Twitter and Instagram, where our Discord is AMA K-pop Pod, I believe, as well. Mm-hmm. We can be found everywhere. There's I'd never update the Tumblr.
Yeah, we don't really use the Tumblr anymore, but we do have like our email account, AMAKpoppod@gmail. We're AMA K-pop on YouTube and Spotify. Our episodes are on Spotify, and then we're also a user on Spotify, and we have playlists that accompany every episode. Yeah, they correlate with every episode that is like a music heavy episode. So
I think that's all the places. So check us out if that sounds interesting. We have a lot of fun.
Yes. I highly recommend you guys check. Like, I'm still learning. I'm really excited. I'm kind of happy that I didn't listen through all the episodes because now I'm like, you guys are telling me things and I'm like, oh, I can't wait to listen to that. So I'm like currently on episode 47. But hopefully.
Oh, girl, you have like 60, 62 more to go.
I know. Well, that's the other thing. I just want to say you guys are also not being a career sort of thing yet, as just like a hobby starting, you know, now, like, you guys are so consistent, like, every week, doesn't matter. Like, I think there was like a gap where you guys like before you did like the Into the EXO sort of
thing. Yeah, our studio was under construction, so we had to take a break.
Right. Yeah. That was the only time, like, or from what I've seen, like, you guys are on the dot every 7 days. You have an episode out. So props to you guys.
I try. Yeah. Because again, I think that's like a very important part about podcasting and like why it makes my heart so warm is that like to so many people, Wednesday morning, they listen to us while they go do whatever and we're part of their routine and I don't want to like mess up the routine. I want to just always be there. So that's what we try to do.
Yeah. I think that helps us like not only build but also maintain our audience is that they know that they can count on a new episode every Wednesday. And so that is like something, especially nowadays, something that they can actually rely on and know that that won't change is like very comforting in a lot of ways. So we try to stay consistent.
Yeah, you guys really are. And I think that's really, it's an amazing thing that I can't even, you know, even I sometimes get paid for, like, I barely little, but like you guys really do, you know, you guys are really consistent, which I think is really awesome. And I think it's really cool how you've been able to keep it as, you know, a fun activity rather than something that could easily become a chore, you know, with a change of mindset sort of thing. So, kudos. I hope to take some sort of like, like pointers from you guys from this as well. But thank you guys for being a guest on the podcast Believe in K-Pop today. I hope the listeners, you guys enjoyed it. And if you guys want to be a part of the much smaller Discord that I have than ask me about K-Pop, you can DM me at EMIHAYDEL on Twitter or Instagram, and I will give you the link to that. But thank you guys again. Thank you, Angelica. Thank you, Shannon.
Thank you.
Yes, and we will see you guys next week.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.